Okay.
Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are.
Good morning.
The first week of August. I think this will be airing on the Tuesday the 6th, and we're heading into the big month for you, particularly because
this countdown is on.
Marriage month, and
19 days away.
That'll be fun. Once all that's done, I'm assuming you and Dan will take a little rest, or.
I'm not sure what we're doing. We haven't quite planned that. A couple of our best friends that live down in Texas will have come out for the wedding, and they're going to stick around for a few days. And then we do have plans to go camping, which doesn't sound necessarily the most relaxing. But Caleb and Olivia and Dan and I are going camping over Labor Day. And then we do need to figure out, we need a good little honeymoon, but we need to stick around post, this somehow always happens to us. And I'm happy to do it. So I just jokingly say this, but as it turns out, Anna and Ryan's lease on their apartment starts while they're on their honeymoon. And so we will once again, post wedding, be moving everything into their apartment like we did with Caleb and Liv's. So there'll be a little bit of work to do, but then we're going to find a way to relax and have some fun.
Yeah, that's good. Well, we've been, talking in our series, Christ Clutter in the Calendar, about how do we release the burden of the clutter part. It's not that we don't have it. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have adversity. We're going to have things that are unresolved. And they could just be decisions, that we're trying to make and we just don't have yet an answer to. So it's not like it's all negative. It just are things that we're trying to work through to bring resolution because of the things in life require, decisions. And it can crop up, like Linda and I have recently had to deal with her mother going into an assisted living place. Well, that's not an easy process.
Right.
And with her and where to go and how to do it. And
even then helping her through the transition once she gets there.
Helping her through the transition.
Right?
Yeah, she's 97.
97. Wow.
Yeah, and she's mentally on it, so.
That's awesome.
So it's kind of funny to see that. And physically she's doing okay. She's not great, but she's doing okay. Mm-hmm. It came up.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's not adversity per se, but it's an unresolved thing that now takes time. And because we know that God has a will, he says, I have an answer for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to walk with me to let me bring my answer. Let me bring my resolution. Don't you just give it your best shot and good luck. It's that I know where she should be.
Mm-hmm.
I know how that's going to work. I know the people she's going to be around. And you just seek me. Go ahead.
Highlight in that right now. And I know we've said this so many times before, but I do think so often the thing that I hear from people is God's given me a brain.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I just use it and do what I know? And so I think this is so important because God has given you a brain. But that being said, he knows so much more than we do. And so learning to surrender and to go to him first in this is such an important part of our journey, to recognize in humility that he does know more and that it's not a sign of weakness to not take care of it yourself first and to go to what you know first, but it's a sign of strength to know I'm going to draw on what he knows and seek his will because it's best and none better. And that is actually the strong position to go into anything like that. It's not weak to not go to self first. So right. I don't know why somebody must have needed to hear that reminder today, because I felt like we needed to say it again.
Yeah. And let me just read a couple verses that help us understand it. So this is Jesus in the Gospel of John. He's speaking. He says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Mm-hmm. John 6:38 says, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, mm-hmm. but the will of him who sent me." And then in John 8, this is a verse that we actually spend a lot of time in our abiding, where we go into, "If you abide in my word, you'll know the truth, to set you free." But Jesus starts with that, and he says, verse 28 in chapter 8, "I do nothing of mm-hmm. myself, but as the Father teaches me, I speak these things. He who has sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. I always do the things that please him."
Yes.
So when the argument is God gave me a brain, mm-hmm. is that's true. Jesus had a brain.
Right.
And was really brilliant. No problem.
Right.
We have no trouble with that. Could he have figured all this stuff out himself? Sure. Mm-hmm. He had the ability to do it, but, and this is, by the way, and all we have is we have two data points. We have when he was 12 years old, mm-hmm. in Jerusalem, you know, left there by his parents. They come back, and he says, "Well, don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" So he understands. Mm-hmm. I'm the Son of God. And I'm learning to be about his business and following him. The next time we see him, he's 30 mm-hmm. and starting his ministry.
Right.
Well, there's 18 years. Mm. We don't have any information about that.
Right.
Other than we see the aftermath of it and his statements. "I only do the will of the Father." So for 18 years, he's been learning how to process that. Because it wasn't a theological thing. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, I want you to teach a few principles. It's you're going to have lots of things happen, mm-hmm. and you're going to be engaged in all kinds of interesting things. I'll tell you what to do with it. Mm. I'll direct you every step of the way. Only do what I tell you to do. Mm-hmm. And you got to learn to hear it and follow it. And so, and then Christ says, "As God sent me," this is in John 20, "as God sent me, I'm sending you."
Yes.
In that same place. And then in John 15, he says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." So when you put all that together, and then all these verses, by the way, we have a great course on discerning God's will that you ought to pursue. Mm-hmm. But the end line of it is that God has a will. Mm-hmm. It's about everything, the vine dresser. I will tell you what that is, and you follow it and have a heart to hear it, mm-hmm. And be willing to let me guide you into that. I don't want you to eliminate your intellect. I just want you to subordinate it to following me in the spiritual process of following his will, so that even in the situation about, you know, like Linda's mom, well, we know he's got a will. Mm-hmm. It's very specific. It's about her. It's about us. Father, lead us and guide us. And we do ask, seek, and knock. You know, one of the activities is we'll go investigate a few places. Mm-hmm. And I'll show you. And it's really cool. And it's hard to describe this, but it wasn't fuzzy.
Right.
It wasn't like, well, I guess we could do that one or that one. As you pursue it, God says, that one. And you know mm-hmm. it, and it's I don't know how I can say it, but you don't have any doubt about it. It's God says that's the one. Okay, got it. And that's the beauty of following God's will. Mm-hmm. And so, but it was an unresolved issue that now we put on our list, and we got to spend time. Mm-hmm. Now the key is, don't get burdened by it.
Right.
Yep, you got to deal with it. I have an answer. It's going to be step by step. I'll get you there. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. And if you believe that and see it and experience it, you're not burdened by it. You're interesting enough. You kind of look like, I wonder how this is going to work
out. Right. You're expectant, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You're watching and listening and alert to God moving.
Yeah, it really is. So as we're doing it, he keeps telling us and showing us some beautiful truth. So go to Psalm 85. There's actually three great psalms in a row, 84, 85, 86, that I'll talk a little bit about it, but we'll just focus on 85. Go verses 4 through 13. 85, 4 through 13.
Sure. It says, "Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway."
Yeah. The context here in this case is that God is disciplining them because they have refused to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and we have in our course on overcoming adversity, this is one of the causes of adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that we didn't follow God. We didn't pursue God.
Right.
We did it ourselves. We neglected to hear anything that God would have to say about it. And we've now caused ourselves trouble.
Mm.
And we've rejected when God asked us to repent.
Mm.
That, hey, I can fix this.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to have to come with me.
Right.
I either don't believe it, I don't trust you, why bother? I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, and I don't respond to the discipline. And
mm-hmm.
the discipline is the consequences are getting more severe.
Mm-hmm.
It's purposeful. In this case, it's coming from God himself.
Right.
It's purposeful because all I'm trying to do is get you to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
You're going the wrong way. You're pretty stubborn, he's saying to us. You think I caused this, and I caused it originally, and I'm not helping you. At the moment, I'm not helping you because you're not willing to come. And actually, it's getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you want to come with me?
Right.
Who can fix it? You know. And so, in this case, the psalmist wakes up
mm-hmm.
and says, "You know what? We understand that." This is coming from, and by the way, when he says angry, he's really talking about what we would call a holy response of God saying, you're preventing me from
right.
delivering you and restoring you, and it saddens me.
Mm-hmm.
And my emotion is one that I would like you to turn around and be with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, in essence, I'm not happy about that.
Right.
Not happy for you because you're not able to receive what I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't deliver to you what I have. And you're causing yourself more trouble and the people around you more trouble.
Right.
So if you'd repent, you know, come on. And the psalmist says, okay, I get it. I'm going to repent. He says, restore us. In other words,
mm-hmm.
now that we've realized this, I'm willing to come to you. And I've made a mess of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know something. And we went through this. I can make how many things work out for good?
All.
Even when I've made a
Every
mess of it?
Every single one. Yep.
See, and that's what he says. Okay, how about now? That's the gospel. Mm-hmm. How about now? Now that you're willing to go with me, I can fix it all, including your stupid mistakes
mm-hmm.
that caused you or the discipline that I brought to you. So revive us. In verse 7, it says, show us your mercy. And the word there is covenant loyalty.
Mm.
We've walked away from the covenant. we haven't been experiencing the blessed to be a blessing. We haven't experienced all things working together for good, but we're coming back. And now our first request is we're willing to step back into the covenant, and you show us, reveal that, make it so, demonstrate that, and we're doing it. And he says in verse 8, and this is kind of the key to the turnaround. What does he say in verse 8?
He says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly.
Yeah. So, okay, now that I'm here, yeah, it's a mess. I'm in trouble. I got clutter. I'm going to listen to what you have to say.
Right.
I know you're going to lead me to shalom. So I'm in. So help me hear what you have to say. And by the way, this is where we, and you've talked about this a little bit, this is where the community is so important.
Right.
Is, okay, yep, I understand it. By the way, I don't bring any judgment to you at all. That's not my right. My only question is, are you willing to go? Let's go.
Right.
And let's go together to hear what God has to say, and I'll help you with that. And you start to hear it. And then he says this in verse 10. He says, mercy. Remember the word mercy is covenant loyalty.
Right.
Covenant and truth, which he's going to guide us into, have met together. Righteousness, because I'm in the kingdom now, I'm covered by Christ's righteousness. There is no condemnation. It's, hey, let's go. And peace have kissed together. Kissed meaning shalom is right with you. And they've met up and said, covenant's coming, shalom's coming, pursue the truth. And you're there because of my righteousness. And God says, I don't have any more thought about what you did or how you did it or how come you did it. How about now? Let me resolve it. Let's go. And so it's really a beautiful thing. And then he says, truth will spring out of the process. And I'm going to give, in verse 12, what is good, and the land will yield your increase. So that, read it this way. The word there for good is supernatural, miraculous things that are spectacular.
Wow.
I'm going to give you those. And by the way, see, it's not about I'm going to have you earn those. I'm going to deliver supernatural stuff that only I can do in a spectacular.
Wow.
I'm going to give it to you. The land will yield its fruit. And so think of it this way. They've had a problem with no crop bearing fruit.
Right.
Because that was part of the discipline. They have a problem. I need that resolved. How? I need my land to yield fruit. So what he's saying here is that I'll deliver what is good. I will resolve your issue. It will happen. It'll be absolute. And I'll show you how to enjoy that. And so as we look at trouble, yeah, there's times where we've contributed to that trouble. We can recognize it, particularly as we start. You know, usually when people come to me, it's because they're in trouble. And they say, you know, somebody told me that as opposed to the other Christian people around me, you say, live with it. You say something different. What do you say? And I say, well, okay. Yeah, you're in trouble. Tell me about it. They tell me about it. Yep, you're in trouble. but God will resolve it. I guarantee you God will resolve it. You're like, wait, you can't guarantee it. Yeah, I can. And I take them to verses we've already said. What did God say?
Right.
I'll deliver you from what?
From all of evil.
All of them. See, I'll deliver you from all the trouble. I'll deliver you from all the afflictions. I'll resolve this. And would you have a heart to go? And they wonder, you know, is it worth my while? Is it going to matter? Am I just going to get more frustrated? I said, I understand your pattern, but would you be willing to try it? Let's try it. And they do, and they start to do it. And then they recognize, as they realize when God reveals to them, part of the reason you're in trouble is you've never learned to follow me. And you've been off on your own. away from me, from the kingdom. You've been in the world all by yourself, getting whacked by the enemy and getting whacked by the world, and you never came to me to assist you.
Right.
And I couldn't do anything else. And see, that's what we got to understand, is that it's not a, well, I'll do it anyway. By the way, he still oversees us, and he does take care of us. But there's consequences to our not following him. And so the first thing they recognize is, oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
So part of this is because I made a bunch of mistakes. Yeah. I should have never done that. I got to fix this. I'm so sorry, and I'll never get out of this. And what God says, wait a second. It doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
How about now?
Now forward. Yes.
Now forward. How about now? Release what happened. Let's just focus on me resolving this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got trouble. Yeah, you got adversity. Yes, it's mostly because you didn't listen to me or didn't follow me or you didn't even know that you could follow me. Now that you know it and you recognize something, I don't want you to spend any time on it. How about now? Mm-hmm. Let me go fix it. And we got to get to the process, which is what the psalmist said here, is that now that I recognize this, I'm going to listen to what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just go with you because you're going to deliver covenant. You're going to deliver good. You're going to resolve it. Hallelujah. Let's go. So as we look at this and think about the psalmist, he describes it. He was under oppression, understanding that God's not happy with him.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to him in a few verses? Rejoicing.
Yes.
Okay, now, had the problem been resolved yet? No.
Mm-hmm.
Why was he rejoicing?
Because he knew that God would,
yeah.
would resolve it. He had faith in what God said.
Yeah, because I do understand the truth of what he said.
Mm-hmm.
The covenant is here. The good things are here. Truth will guide me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in. I'm going to listen, and I'm going to get this thing resolved.
Right.
And because I know it's going to get resolved, now I'm released from the heaviness of it because God
right.
says, don't spend any time on the heaviness. Don't spend any time on your guilt. There's no condemnation. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Let me resolve it. So as you think of Christ's clutter in the calendar, this is a big deal of being able to release the heaviness of even when I recognize that probably I've stepped into a lot of mistakes here.
Right, and I've caused some of this.
and I've caused some of this. And by the way, the world is per se just full of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why he says it doesn't really matter at this point.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a heart to go, let's just go. I'll start to resolve it, and I'll resolve all of them. I'll deliver all of them. So, mm-hmm. Father, we thank you for the truth of that you share with us that it's not about what happened and how it happened. It's more about what about now. Why don't we give you our issue, our clutter, our unresolved issue, our heaviness, and let you take it and resolve it and bring real answers to our situation, which we say you say you will do. So we ask for that. We pray that even today, as we're listening to this, people may be listening to it heavy-hearted. I pray that they're encouraged and recognize that all they have to do is just say, I'm willing to go, and you will guide them and lead them into the resolution. We praise you now and thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich, and thank you for joining us, everyone. If you have questions from today's broadcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministry.com, and we will look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we will see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.